to Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is such a very familiar passage of Scripture. We know it so well, and I pray that in this Advent season that it will minister to us in a fresh way. Psalm 23. I'm going to play a little game with you. I'm into games today. I don't know why. I'm going to pause at a certain point, and you have to fill in the blank. No cheating. I want to see how well you know this one. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in. He leads me beside the quiet water. He restores my. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and will follow me all the days of my life, and I will. You know this one very well. Another very familiar story that I'm going to, in a little ways, make a connection between the two. It's sometimes a little bit of a stretch to say, how are we going to make an Advent theme out of Psalm 23? But it is amazing how it's everywhere in the Bible. So we're talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. And Matthew, after recounting the genealogy of Jesus Christ, came to the climax of Jesus Christ and his birth. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. Jesus the Messiah, he says. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because her husband Joseph was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Congregation of Jesus Christ, this is the word of the Lord. Psalm 23 is probably one of the most well-known passages of Scripture. A lot of people know it. There's a history with it. Charles Spurgeon's called this psalm the pearl of the Psalms. And he's not wrong. It's not hard to understand why. It is well known and treasured by many. The words are embedded in our hearts. It sort of speaks a heart language to us. In this worship space, as we gather together, we probably all have different reasons why we love this psalm so much. I have my own reasons for loving it and having a renewed interest in this psalm. I was reading a book this summer by David Gibson called The Lord of Psalm 23, and it helped me to kind of see this psalm in a different way. I love it. Also have said goodbye to some of our family and friends this year, and inevitably Psalm 23 makes its way into our hearts and reminds us of someone we love. Now, here's a problem that we all bump up against, because when you know something so well, then you have somebody come and take it apart and analyze it and give it back to you, it may feel a little different to you. And I hope I don't ruin this psalm for you. It's kind of like, you know, you get married and you have your favorite pair of jeans and your shirt. You just love it. You wear it all the time. And then you get married and there's a new stylist that has moved in. And they say, you know, that has got to go. You're not going to wear that in public. I don't want to do that to you today. I don't want to do that to you in this series, but I do want to take this psalm off of some people. Hopefully that's not you. You see, there's a lot of people that just love this psalm. But the question embedded in this psalm is, do you know the shepherd? As this year draws to a close and we will begin to celebrate Christmas and we look at our holiday plans and our hopes and dreams for the coming year, as we set our goals, our financial plans, make New Year's resolutions, our fitness plans, time to get in shape in every way, and we're going to do it this year. A simple question that I want to add to the mix is the Lord your shepherd? So many people respect this psalm, love it, and even claim its promises, but they don't know the Lord. It burdens my heart sometimes. It's often used as funeral, and it's not hard to understand. It's because of that phrase, even though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. And the problem with this as a funeral psalm is that it's really not about death. It's about life. If you look at it, it's about food. It's about water. It's about security. It's about going to a banquet in a spacious palace, beautiful palace where there's perfumed oil poured on your head and with the cup of the finest wine and it's overflowing and you have to tell the host, please stop. I have enough. It's a psalm about life, abundant life, more than about the shadow of death. And the comfort that we find in walking in the valley of the shadows comes from knowing the shepherd. Do you know the shepherd? This psalm is not for everyone without qualification. A lot of people may take comfort in this psalm, but it does not actually belong to them. Think about it. If we have time, if we have no time for the shepherd in life, why would we want him in death? If we don't want to be with him on the path and journey to life, to live with him, to eat with him, what makes us think that we are going to die with him? So before we dive into this psalm, I think it's good to set the context of it a little bit. Psalm 23 follows Psalm 22. Brilliant, eh? It took me like a month to come up with that. But I give it to you because Psalm 22 is part of this package, and it's a psalm about the cross. It's in that psalm, there are no green pastures. Rather, we read, my God, why have you forsaken me? We must first see the shepherd who was crucified. As you see, in this psalm, it was told 1,000 years before Jesus was born, that he would die on the cross, that he would be surrounded by Gentiles. This is Psalm 22. It's your afternoon challenge to read that and see if what I'm saying is true. He would be crucified between two lawbreakers, that those attending his crucifixion would cast lots for his clothes, that he would be thirsty, that his tongue would cleave to the roof of his mouth, that his side would be pierced. I imagine we all have personal reasons for loving this psalm, but we have to grasp this psalm in its context. We can embrace the beauty and wonder of Psalm 23 when we know that the psalmist, the shepherd in this psalm, suffered and died on the cross. He is our shepherd. Ponder that as we continue. Now, overview just a little bit. There are three great confessions running through this psalm. It's almost like the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer one, another well-known funeral psalm or confession. I love to read that there. What is your only comfort in life and in death? And then that I am not my own but belong. Here are three confessions, and you can write this down. The first one is the psalmist said, I shall not want. In other words, I lack no good thing. It doesn't mean I have no desires. It means I will lack nothing because the Lord is my shepherd. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not fear when I walk through darkness. I'm not going to fear any evil because the shepherd is with me. And in verse 6, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Are these our confessions as well? Can we say with the psalmist, I will not want, for the Lord is my shepherd. I will not fear any evil, for the Lord is a companion with me through life, no matter what I go through. And I will dwell with you, Lord, forever, because you, O Lord, are my host. Do you see what holds these confessions together as you read this psalm? As you read this, pay attention to the he, me pronouns there. That's a dynamic that's going in verses 2 and 3. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. He guides me on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And then you come to verse 4. Now, he's talking about his shepherd to others, and then his heart naturally goes into talking to the shepherd, and it becomes you and I. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He concludes. David Gibson says, that means when he says, I shall not want, I will never lack the expert care and management of my master. Why? Because my shepherd makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. He guides me. The shepherd is the one that's doing all the heavy lifting in our life. Can we say that enough? It's not what I do that earns me a right status before God. It's what Jesus Christ has done completely. We're going to drill into this a little bit more, but David never lacks anything, number one, because of who God is, number two, because of what he gives, and number three, because of where he leads. So going to number one, I do not lack anything because of who God is. The Lord is my shepherd, he says. Everyone has shepherds. You and I have shepherds as well. We are all following someone. We're all being influenced by something or someone. All kinds of shepherds are constantly telling us what to wear, where to go, what to do, what we need, how to think. We have it coming to us everywhere. Our media feeds are always trying to say, hey, your life would be better if you would do this. If you just do this little one thing, you'll have no more problems. If you would just invest in this, then, hey, your life is going to be secure forever. all kinds of shepherds. But the Lord, who is David's shepherd, is not like all those other shepherds. This is the Lord. If you notice in your Bibles, it's in all capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is a cue for the name that they used to call God in the Old Testament, Yahweh. If you grew up on King James Version, it was Jehovah. They just added some consonants to Yahweh, which became Jehovah. That is the very God, as Scripture unfolded, God was introducing himself to people. And Moses, one day, was, you know the story, boys and girls, how Moses was in the desert taking care of sheep. And he looks off in the distance and sees a bush that's burning. And he says, that bush has been burning for a long time, all morning. And it's still burning, and it's not burning up. And he went there, and you know the story in Exodus 3. God said, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. And Moses asked, who are you? And he said, I am who I am. That's my name. And that's hard to understand, but the simplest term to that is the Lord is mysterious. It's mysterious. It means I always was, I always will be, I am eternally here now. That's in the simplest term. I am who I am. The Lord is completely and totally other than us. He is eternal. Before I ever arrived on the scene, he was there, says David Gibson. Long after I depart, he is still there as well. That's so different to me than me, right? I have a born-on date. I have an expiration date, best by. And I don't know what that date is. It's coming sometime, but not God. He's eternal. He is absolutely self-sufficient. You get that picture there? It's kind of like, you ever wonder, why does the sun not just go, poof, you know, such a hard fire? Why doesn't the sun just burn up? Why didn't that bush burn up? Because God is his own fuel, and he's going to keep on going forever and ever. He has no equal, period. And guess what? This God, who is so large, we cannot even comprehend, this God, says David, is my shepherd. The one that we need to shepherd us does not need us. He doesn't need to be shepherded by anybody. He's not learning things in the process. He never burns out. Now you contrast that to David. David is like a sheep. High maintenance. Sheep are high maintenance animals. Let me tell you, we thought it was a great idea once to raise some sheep. Two sheep. That's all we needed. All you have to do is watch two sheep. They get up into the feed bin, and these little rascals, they just kept eating, and they said, this feed is so good, they kept eating and kept eating. We found them the next morning like that. They're like, oh, who knew? Who knew? Sheep don't know when to stop eating. Sheep cannot defend themselves. If they're out there, they're prey. They need a shepherd. David said, that's like me. I need food, I need rest, I need water, I need guidance, I need shelter, everything. You name it, I need it. Who gives David everything that he needs? The very shepherd that needs nothing or no one or anyone. The one who is the all-consuming fire but yet never burns out. David says, I have a shepherd. His name is the Lord, Yahweh. Jesus is a very good shepherd. Promises made in the Old Testament. Here's kind of the tie that's coming in. The idea of the shepherd. I really didn't realize that, but it's everywhere in Scripture. Everywhere. It's already there in Genesis. After Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, what did God do? He gave them a covering. Ah, that's a clue. That's probably a lamb. Someone has to die for your sin. But it's everywhere, and it just goes throughout Scripture. I didn't notice that, if you noticed, even our Thanksgiving psalm talks about the Thanksgiving call to worship. The Lord is the shepherd of his people. He is the one that takes care of us. Let us enter his presence with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, because he is a good shepherd. So the prophet Ezekiel, he was looking ahead to the day that a shepherd would arise from the line of David, and I will place over them one shepherd. He calls him my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. The shepherd will be no ordinary man. Listen to the prophet Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 34, it's all about shepherding. I myself will search for my sheep, and I'll look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them. That's key. Scattered flocks, but he is with them. So I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. Fast forward to the time of Micah. Micah the prophet announced that the shepherd of promise would be born in the city of David, in Bethlehem. He says, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you were small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Ancient times, in other words, eternal. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. They will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. More than 700 years later, when Joseph learned that his fiancée was with child, he decided to secretly end their engagement. Thankfully, an angel of the Lord intervened. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear you a son, and you will call his name Jesus. What does Jesus mean? The Lord will save. That's a shepherding function. The Lord will save. She will bear a son. You will call his name Jesus. An old Christmas carol asks, and this was the inspiration for my sermon title, who is he in yonder stall? Joseph, Mary, and the shepherds in Bethlehem found out that this was no ordinary child. This is the Lord of Psalm 23, the very one who proclaimed out loud in John 10, verse 10, I have come that you may have the abundant life. Then he says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Listen to how Jesus describes his ministry. This is coming from Luke. Luke 15. What person, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that was lost until he finds it? And when he finds it, here's that tender picture, he finds the lamb, he lays it on his shoulder, and he carries it home, safe and secure. Jesus is the good shepherd. the promised seed, the very one who would save his people from their sins. He is Emmanuel, it says, God in the flesh, the shepherd, the eternal one, living in the midst of his people. David would have no lack because the Lord is his shepherd. Secondly, because of what the Lord provides. The Lord provides food, that's green pastures, gives you the strength that you need for today, still waters, he gives you plenty to drink. And the fact that he makes you lie down, I never knew this about sheep until I read Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. Did you know that sheep will not sleep until they feel safe? They will not lay down until they feel safe. But here's the shepherd. You make me lie down in green pastures. Your supply is more than enough. He restores my soul. He provides for all of my basic needs. The sheep do not need to wander off looking for more because in their shepherd, they find everything that they need. Again, not everything that we want. Our wants really outstrip what we really need. The Lord provides. Our wants will never end. But Jesus came into our midst not to destroy us, but to save us. Jesus said, I came to seek and save those who are lost. That's why he invites all those who are weary and burdened. What are you carrying? What is it that you and I have placed our hope in that Jesus cannot take from us and carry? So you don't need that. What you need more than anything else in life and in death is that sure and certain knowledge that you belong to me. Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus said also, I am the door. I am the door. I am the way into this sheepfold. Come to me and you will find rest. You want rest this holiday season in the coming year? Enter his sheepfold. There is nothing that you or I need that he will not supply. And finally, I will never lack because of where God leads. My shepherd leads me. It's called on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. The paths of righteousness are the path of holiness. It is the true joy that we find in life. Joy that is not just being happy in the moment, but finding joy that lasts. We discover wholeness, integrity, purpose, meaning in life on the path that the shepherd leads us on. He leads us for our own good, but for his name's sake and his glory alone. And these are not two different things. For his name's sake, your good and God's glory are not two different things. David Gibson again, whatever is good for you, truly good for you, will glorify God. Whatever glorifies God is good for you. It restores you. It'll make you and I whole. God's goal is not the sheep's honor, but his name. The fame of sheep is not relevant at all here. The fame and honor and glory of God is everything. We need to get that in our minds because it goes against our basic nature. I want to succeed in life for me. What about the glory of God? I want to excel at this task for me. What about excelling at a task that will direct everybody's attention to God? The fame and honor of God are everything. Let me bring this home. There, I wonder if you are here and you're thinking of leaving the path. You know, I don't like this journey that I'm on. You're thinking of leaving them. I urge you not to leave. It's not going to end well. It may satisfy you in the moment like cotton candy can fill your hunger, but it will not satisfy in the long run. Don't leave. Maybe you're not currently following. Maybe you're making your own way through life. I'm the captain of my destiny, the master of my journey. If you're honest, you know it deep down inside. The grass is not greener off the path. If the Lord is not on the path that you are traveling, it's not going to end well. It's going to be filled with fractured relationship, financial distress, personal loss, disappointments that'll drain your soul. And maybe today you're like, I'm just a little bit off the path. You know, I'm young, I got time. There will be time when I'm older that I'll get back on the path. I'll do that when I'm ready, but I'm not ready now. That is dangerous, because the moment you step off the path, you might be just a little bit away from Jesus here, but you keep going through life, and it'll get harder and harder and harder to come back. It's not impossible. God does amazing things. He finds people in the most unusual places, but really, it's harder. The longer that you stay away from Jesus, watch out. So there's the challenge. But I want to end on an encouragement, because as a pastor, I don't just see negative things. I see so many wonderful examples of people that are walking with the Lord, and I'm inspired by their walk. I watch them, and they face struggles in life, and it's not easy. And sometimes I sit back and I think, man, it'd be tough to be you. And then they give such a firm confidence. You know what? Jesus has never failed me once in my life. He's not going to fail me now. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to see people that at the end of their life, they look back and they have no regrets. It didn't turn out the way they had figured. They never knew, standing at their early point in life, that this was going to be it. But I encourage you, and I'm encouraged by you who are walking that way. Stay on that path for the Lord's sake, for the glory of His name, and it will be an encouragement to others. Dear Christians, thank you for letting me walk with you and for inviting me into your lives a little bit to just have this journey with you. I don't do it perfectly. You don't do it perfectly either. But wow, what a joy it is when you see this played out in real time. I am so encouraged to be an under-shepherd, a pastor, temporarily taking care of sheep like little Addie, you know. They're not my sheep. This is God's sheep. I'll try not to mess my sheep up. I'll try to keep the door closed so that you don't go into the pen and end up like that. You know, but it's God's work. The shepherd's going to do the heavy lifting. Is the Lord your shepherd? I hope so. Amen. Not only hope so, but I pray so. Father, we are weak, fearful, sinful, useless sheep, confessing to you that the only good in us is the good that is found in being made in your image and remade in the image of Christ. So happy for the privilege of being led by you, the Good Shepherd. We acknowledge that we get scared in the valley, yet we're so very grateful for the reminder that we don't have to be. We're so grateful that you lead us into green pastures. You give us strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. By your grace, may those depending on anything other than you, may you help them to abandon those things and put their trust in you alone. And we may trust only in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Say thank you to God in the giving of our tithes and offerings. The offerings are for harvest outreach.